Well, thank you, Jesus. Here we are, Healing School. The module we'll be looking at tonight is called Foundational Daily Prayers. Foundational Daily Prayers. You know, one of the two most amazing things that happened with the death and the resurrection of Jesus for us. One is that Christ, by His Holy Spirit, matter of fact, all of God, now lives in us. That is amazing. Number two that I find most amazing is that we have been adopted as sons. As sons. That relationship that we now have with the Father. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That familial expression in the Hebrew of the Abba, the Daddy, the Papa. That intimate relationship. Too many times, even we as Christians forget that that's the kind of intimacy that God desires that we have. As we move into this teaching on foundational daily prayers, one of the underlying things that's happening with these prayers is the relationship. The Abba, the Daddy relationship that we have with the Lord. Now remember, in Healing School, we're not just teaching you a bunch of things to do. The five easy steps to divine health, or you know, those kind of things. We're teaching you a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that's based on the Scripture, but then pragmatically, how do you take the Scripture and put it into a daily thing to walk out in our lives? And that's what we've been trying to teach you. These foundational daily prayers are, again, just part of that lifestyle. And again, it is based on that relationship with God, that intimate relationship with God. So, for example, let's look at the morning prayer. Letter A. Now look at this. Upon awakening, what's the first thing you generally think about? What time is it? Still dark outside. Or is it, I better get out of bed and make a trip to the bathroom really quick. Or is it, you know, something about the person that you're laying next to, your spouse? Out of the intimacy with God should arise, "Hi, Daddy. Hi, my Father." So that there's a relationship that's going on. So let's look at that morning prayer. Upon awakening, pray, "Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sin since the last time I confess my sins. So right now, I'm thanking you that you have forgiven me of all my sins and cleansed me from all unrighteousness, which includes my unknown sins. Now, the assumption here is that one of the last things you did before you went to bed was, if you had any sins to confess, that you confessed them. So upon awakening, there shouldn't be any sins. Or let's say in the middle of the night, you woke up, you had to go do whatever you do in the middle of the night, and you stumbled over the chair leg and let out a yelp, and maybe some things that weren't so yuppy. And but see, then again, our relationship with God is such that immediately we should be confessing our sin. Maybe the cat is meowing and you're getting frustrated at that. The cat is like, come on, it's only 5 o'clock. Or 3 o'clock. Or the cat just ran across you. Had that happen a few times. All of a sudden, brump, brump. And not the most pleasant thing. And so maybe there's some sins to confess. But then the idea is that once you wake up, that all your sins have been confessed. And so it's just a matter of acknowledging any unknown sins and understanding your Father's forgiveness for those sins. Going on, in the name of Jesus, I receive forgiveness for all of my sins and renounce all the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind these sins. In other words, a CRRB. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fall fresh upon me. And then we continue. Let me make a comment about this before we look at it. This next paragraph is a prayer to help establish a precedent for our day, to lay a foundation for our day. In the name of Jesus, I bind all the forces of Satan from my life, my family, the ABC family, and all that concerns me. And if you want to name some more things, my finances, my health, my children, you know, whatever specifically you may want to mention in that. But it's binding the evil one so that you're undoing or setting up the day so that Satan does not have access to you or the things that concern you. Then going on, in the name of Jesus, this day I loose into my life my family, the ABC family, the will of my Heavenly Father, the life of God, the powers of heaven, the angels of God for what we need in our lives today. So here, according to Matthew 18:18, we are loosing. Remember, it says there, whatsoever things that you loose in heaven are loosed upon the earth, and whatsoever things you... Did I say that backwards? Whatsoever things you loose on the earth are loosed in heaven, and whatsoever things you bind on the earth are bound in heaven. Matthew 18:18. So this is then a way of then establishing the kingdom of God around us, establishing His authority over our lives. Then we specifically, in the next paragraph, present ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we've already committed our day to Him, so now let's commit ourselves to Him. In the name of Jesus, I present myself as a living sacrifice. I give to the Holy Spirit my heart, soul, mind, brain, memory, five senses, eyes, ears, tongue, lips, every cell, every organ, every system, and all my members as a willing vessel for you today. Help me, Holy Spirit, not to take myself back. Presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. So these are foundational, or this is a foundational morning prayer that helps us to get the day going, to establish, to wash ourselves so that we're washed of all sins, that we then bind and loose so that our day is set, and then give ourselves to Him. Because He wants to use us. So we need to give ourselves to Him. It helps to establish what we are trying to do with the ABC, what we are trying to do with what the Word of God says, what we are trying to do to live a Christian life that is acceptable to Him, and that is to give to Him our day and everything that we are, so that we live our day for Him. That allows the anointing of God, the healing of God, everything that we need to come into our lives. So now let's go into letter B, foundational prayers. Pray these daily or twice daily for yourself and your family members. Pray aloud and personalize it. Now, I'm not going to deal today with the family aspect of it. That will be handled on Sunday. But what I want us to look at is how this affects us personally, these prayers. So we always address our prayers to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Psalm 23. So the idea here is that we, especially if you've been praying this on a daily basis, we've already prayed this prayer. So we are not like re-praying it. What we are doing is affirming it. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. That you are making me to lie down in green pastures. You are leading me beside the still waters. You're restoring my soul. And I thank you, Father, that you are leading me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thank you, Father, that you have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, as you're praying these prayers, as you're going through these things, it's not just a matter of praying them out, of just accomplishing a task. Let the Lord use these to minister to you. If you have time, think about what you're praying. Think about the ramifications of the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? You can learn so much about who God is and what He desires in our life. Just thinking about Him as your shepherd who's leading you and guiding you and protecting you, providing everything that you need. I shall not want. I shall have no want of anything. So don't just rotely go through these prayers, these scriptures, but let the Lord minister to you. Think about them. Meditate on them. See, this is part of planting the Word into our hearts. The more we think about it and meditate on it, it becomes real to us. And so when circumstances come up, See, if you don't know that the Lord is your shepherd and he is providing and leading and taking you through all this, then when those shadows of death come into your life, present themselves, if you don't know that he's your shepherd, it's hard then to not fear and to trust him, to know that he is taking care of you. He is your shepherd. When a sheep finds itself in some crevasse and is and it's life-threatening to that sheep, see, he should know, the shepherd knows me. The shepherd knows my name. And he knows that I am missing. So he's going to come looking for me. The same way with us. Our shepherd knows who we are. And he knows the things that we're going through. And he is right there. Trust him. See, as you meditate on the word, then it builds such a confidence in you. We who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? You know what? We say of the Lord that he is our refuge, our fortress, our God. In him do we trust. He covers us with his feathers, and under his wings do we trust. Now, one of the things that I found interesting was that as you read the word and go over it over and over, meditating on it and that kind of stuff, you get to the point where you don't even have to memorize the word because it becomes so a part. You're doing it every day and you are just involved in it and you're thinking about it, and it's just like it just begins to flow, and before you know it, you've got it memorized. We shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. I thank you, Father, that 1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, and it will not come near me. You know, one day I was driving home from work several years ago, and I was following this truck, and this little, like a little Toyota pickup, and on top of it, it had a kind of a rack on the top of it, and on top of the rack were these two huge garage doors. It looks like they maybe had to replace somebody's garage door, and so they had cut the big garage door in half, and they had it sitting on top of this, and it was tied down, right? So you know where I'm starting to go with this, right? So driving down the freeway and following this truck, a good safe distance behind it, and all of a sudden I began to see that top thing begin to flop, and the next thing I know, the thing goes up and it's coming down, and I had no fear whatsoever. It's just like everything went into slow motion. The thing just comes up like this, and then it hits the road, and it bounces this way, and it bounces that way, and I knew exactly what to do. I just turned my wheel and swerved over here, and right back into the lane of traffic, and just, but it's like God was protecting. He is our protector. If nothing by any means harms us, that's what we expect. So as you spend time in the psalm, knowing that he is our protector, knowing that no arrow that flies by day is going to harm us, and pestilence is going to come near our dwelling. I guess we haven't quite got to that part yet. Okay, only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. I thank you, Father, that no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. But Father, you have sent the angels and put the angels in charge over me to keep me in all your ways. Thank you, Father. They shall bear me up with their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. And on it goes. His protection. So just let the Lord minister to you as you spend time in His Word. Ephesians chapter 1. These three prayers here, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, and Colossians chapter 1. That was this exercise of going through these scriptures, these five segments of scriptures, is one of the first things that I learned here at ABC. And so I've been doing this for, 15 years. And I tell you what, it is out of these five scriptures that God has ministered to me so much. He has taught me about who He is. He has taught me about who I am, who I am in Christ, who Christ is in me. And these have been such a foundation. Oh my gosh, they're called foundational prayers, aren't they? They have been such a foundation to my life and my growth and my understanding of the Word of God. So spend time in them. Don't just go through it. Spend time in them. Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and understanding. So we say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have given me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. See, and that phrase, the knowledge of you, is so important. Because according to 2 Peter chapter 1, grace and truth are multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of God. Hosea tells us that my people perish for lack of knowledge of the Lord and His Word. So we're asking here and expecting that God will give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know the hope of His calling, His calling on us as sons of God. That we would know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Everything that God has provided for us, the riches of His glory, the inexhaustible supply of His inheritance, everything that has been provided for us in Christ Jesus to help us live out our sonship. And then the exceeding greatness of His power towards me, towards us. So we're praying this for ourselves, expecting these things for our lives. And that is the same power, that power that is towards us, same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And now God has seated Him at His own right hand, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named. And Ephesians 2, I love this. And He has raised us up and seated us with Him together in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, we are far above. I mean, the revelation knowledge and the understanding from these scriptures is just amazing. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. I'm actually going to start with verse 16. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you have granted unto me according to the riches of your glory, again, that inexhaustible supply, to be strengthened by might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, are able to comprehend with all the saints, whether it's the length, breadth, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses understanding. His amazing love. See, Ephesians 1 shows us who God is, who Christ is in us, and who we are in Him. Ephesians chapter 3 is an expansion of that. And that is when Christ is dwelling in our heart and we understand that the love that God has for us, that unsurpassable love, that depth, and when it's rooted and grounded in us, in our inner man, we're not talking about our spirit here, we're talking about our heart and our soul in particular. When they are dwelling in us, then, wow, then we are filled with all the fullness of God, our inner being. We are so interconnected and connected to Him. Wonderful prayers. And then from that place, Colossians chapter 1, then talks about the walking out of that in our lives. He's praying that his desire for them was that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, of His intimate will in their lives, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, to know exactly what it is that God wants us to do, how He wants us to be. We see that as far as in Ephesians, being sons and being and who Christ is in us. But this is not only just that, but also then some of the specifics of what He wants us to carry out in our lives. And so once we know what His will is, it doesn't have to be everything that He wants us to do. It's just something that He wants us to do. Then, verse 10, that you might walk worthy. In other words, now that you know His will, you conform your life to His will. Do whatever you've got to do in your life to be able to fulfill the will that He has shown you. Because that then is pleasing to the Lord, unto all pleasing. And it then bears fruit in your life, and it increases, and you increase in the knowledge of God. Again, going back to the knowledge of God, that's what we want, to increase in the knowledge so that we have more of God's grace and have more of His life and godliness working in us. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Why that verse? Because to fulfill the Word of God is going to require patience. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be the evil one trying to thwart you fulfilling his will in your life. But we just keep moving forward with patience, with long-suffering, with joyfulness, knowing that as we do that, it will be fulfilled by the power of the Spirit working in us. Foundational prayers that are life-changing. Let's go on to letter C now, forgiving others. So we've established now that we've got the morning prayer, we've foundational prayers. You might want to even add communion in there. However the Lord would lead you with that. Then throughout your day would be more letter C, forgiving others. So as you live your life, as you're interacting with other people, as you're watching TV, as you're listening to the radio, as you're interacting with your coworkers, your family members, things come up, issues arise, and you find yourself maybe at times getting offended. And there are times then that we need to forgive. If you have the slightest doubt that you have been offended, forgive the person. Praying, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive whoever it is. from my heart who has offended me, and I pray blessings on them from my heart. Notice the note there. Since unforgiveness is very deceptive, it might be more easily recognized if you check for a loss of joy, peace, and patience. So you might walk away from a conversation and it's just like, you know, your joy is not where it was, or your peace has flown away. And so it's like, wait a second, did I get offended? Did it cause anxiety of some sort in me? And so then that is the time then to confess that as a sin, confess your unforgiveness as a sin, you're taking offense as a sin, and move back into forgiving and back into receiving the Lord's forgiveness for those sins. Number two there, if a memory of a previous offense comes to mind, treat the memory as a sin. Pray, Heavenly Father, I have already forgiven this person, so this memory is a temptation from the enemy, and I confess it as a sin and renounce the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind it. Then continue to CRRB. If the thought comes again, repeat the prayer as many times as needed for the memory to go, so for the memory to leave. Now, I've had to do this. And sometimes, you know, it's like as soon as I finish praying, the memory's back. Nope, start all over again. Sometimes I've had to do it for up to an hour. Why? Because I had an hour to waste? No, not at all. Because that hour was needful for me and my future. Right? We cannot walk and afford to walk in unforgiveness. So if a thought comes back, the evil one's trying to get you back into unforgiveness, back into offense. Remember what they did? Remember that? Remember blah, 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 blah. And so we have to stop it. And so confess it as a sin. And we're basically casting down imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive. So you keep doing it until the enemy backs off. Affirmations. Highly recommended affirmations. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Do 20 to 100 times per day. There was a young man that was having some challenges in school and basically had D's and F's. And Pastor Joshua taught this young man about confessing or doing this affirmation that he has the mind of Christ. So he began to do that on a daily basis, confessing, affirming, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. By the time he graduated from high school a couple years later, he had not only improved his grades dramatically, but he also became an All-American scholar. So praying the mind of Christ works. But it works in several different ways. It works in the natural, like we just talked about, for memory, for logic, for analysis, for comprehension of things. So in the natural, it can be extremely important and valuable. But also for the spiritual. Remember, it's the mind of Christ. It's not just to have a good memory, which is cool, but is also to have the kind of mind, to develop the kind of mind that Jesus had. A holy mind, a pure mind, a righteous mind, a filled with spiritual understanding. So what I've often done is added those things. So let's say I'm going to do 100. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. I may do 20 of, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And then I'll do 20 of, in the name of Jesus, I have the holy mind of Christ. And then I may do 20 more. In the name of Jesus, I have the pure mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I have the righteous mind of Christ. So I would just do whatever the, you know, as things came to mind of the kind of mind of Christ that I wanted to have. So that might be something to do. I know, having known my wife, Penny, and interacting with her, I'm amazed sometimes at her spiritual comprehension, because I will have a revelation and I begin to tell her about it and she says, oh, and then she just picks up right where I left off. It's like, it's amazing. She had never thought that before, never heard it before, but there's a spiritual comprehension, an understanding that's already there because she does have the mind of Christ. The next highly recommended affirmation, in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to Him. Remember, it is our mouth that guides our life. And it is our heart that guides our mouth. So we want the meditations of our heart. Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, we want the meditations of our heart to be His, so that the words that come out of our mouth are His, so that our lives are directed, go in the direction that He desires. So we want to do this affirmation as well, that we have, that God has made the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart pleasing to Him. Some optional ones, I have, or let me complete it here, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or you might want to add a particular part of your body that needs, that is challenged, that needs healing to manifest, such as my foot. Lorreen, are you listening?
Yes.
My... So Lorreen just had some surgery on her foot, and so she's recovering. So her foot has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. So we say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus and whatever part of the body. Now remember, I mentioned a few weeks ago, we never want to talk about the disease or the challenge that we are having when we do affirmations. Now, I'm going to use this as an example, but in the name of Jesus, it does not apply to me. In the name of Jesus, my high blood pressure. See, we've just claimed something for ourselves that we don't want. You can say, in the name of Jesus, my blood pressure is normal by the stripes of Jesus, or however you want to phrase that, but you talk about what it is you want or the part of the body that needs to be that is challenged, that needs to see the manifestation of healing. The last one there, my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. A great affirmation dealing with finances and our needs being met, walking in the Lord's prosperity. Suggestion, these prayers help only if you do them. So make several copies of this sheet and place them in easily accessible places. You know, what I started doing when these kind of prayers got passed out to me, sometimes we'd have things like this on Friday nights or in healing school or School of Dominion or whatever it might be. I even have some from way back when we had the Believer's Miracle Service. But I started putting them in a folder. Now, you can put them in a regular, like a manila folder. You can put them in a binder, whatever it might be. And so that became my prayer binder, so that when I spend time with the Lord, in the morning. I don't have to go looking, where's my sheets? I've got them all right there. Many of them I've memorized, and it's like I don't need to actually go to them, but it's helpful to have them all together in one place. So I might encourage you to do that. So, foundational daily prayers. So, begin to do these on a daily basis. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue with talking now about our homework assignments. Number one, commit yourself to pray the foundational daily prayers each day, what we just mentioned. Number two, now this was actually given like a week and a half ago on a Sunday morning, but it's going to be due this coming Sunday, so we're bringing it up again, to write out and bring with you to class on Sunday, April 28th, in 2 days, a list of curses and sins in the area of substance abuse and addiction, and also in the area of generational curses and sins. So you got the instructions on there, so make sure that you do that. And the deeper that you can get, the more specific that you can be in listing out those curses. It's not that we're, maybe in many cases we've already received forgiveness, but this is more for breaking the curses, the demonic holds as in our lives, and the strongholds as a result of those sins, habits from the past. So bring those on Sunday, and we will break those curses. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you that on that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, how could we forget? It is our joy to receive the healing that you paid such a dear price for. The healing that you say clearly in your word that belongs to us. It's ours. And we receive it as we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus to receive our healing and our wholeness. And we do remember and we do thank you, Jesus, as we partake together. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." Thank you, Lord Jesus, the once for all sacrifice, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus, you have paid the price for it all, in full and complete, everything that we would ever need. The blessings, the covenant, it now belongs to us because of what you have done. And we do remember and we do thank you as we partake together of this cup of blessing, of this cup of life, in Jesus' name.